Blog Talk Radio.
Prepare my heart.
God. Praise God. We pray that you're ready for every test. Hallelujah. Don't you know that you're so blessed? With him in control, you ought to know, hallelujah, that you can always be ready. God bless you tonight. We thank you once again for tuning in to Blog Radio. Amen. And we thank you. I'm Bishop Thurman A. Butler under Spirit of Truth Ministry. I tell you, I want to be ready. I want to have strength to pass every test. How about you? Glory be to God. We are blessed people of God tonight. I thank you for being with me tonight. Amen. We're going to get right into the Word of God. I tell you, I thank God for Yolanda Adams tonight. I tell you, what a blessed song. Hallelujah. And it's a tribute and a testimony to me tonight because I had to be ready. I tell you, God did some shifting in my spirit. I didn't really want to know where to go, what God had for the people of God tonight. And at the final minute, I got a shift. But thank God, I'm ready. Amen. To God be the glory. I'm going to meet you tonight. Amen. In the book of Acts. Once again, I'd like to give honor. Amen. To those under the spirit of truth and all those listeners that come in constantly. Amen. And support the Blog Talk Radio. And what a mighty number you logged into. I tell you, all throughout the week on Monday night, amen, you're going to get a good word. On Wednesday, you're going to get a good word. Not as soon tonight if you're here. Amen. And then Sunday morning, you can tune in here if you're not going to church, and you're going to have a great church service right here on your Blog Talk Radio phone number that you have. Finally, and last but not least at all, I want to just honor my wife tonight. Amen. My better half, my strength and my weakness. Amen. My sugar plum on my tree. Glory to God. Amen. I ain't going to go there because I don't have enough time. But I just thank God for her. I tell you, she's always working in the background. And we thank God, and God is bringing her to the forefront. Hey, man, I was going to talk about ministry tonight, but God kind of shifted my spirit to Acts chapter 9. Praise God. I'm going to try to move through most of this chapter. Hey, man, it's a familiar story. Both of us, we know most of it. And I really want to deal with the portion after the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Amen. Verse 1 says, "And Saul, yet breathing and out threatening words and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that he, if he found any of those ways, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? That's how he said, Who art thou, Lord? He knew the voice. Hallelujah. He felt the spirit of the spirit that knocked him off the beat. Keep that in mind. He was familiar. He was acquainted. It hit his spirit in such a way. He said, Who art thou? You ever been in a place with God that you had to act? Is this you, Lord? Who's causing this? Who's initiating this? Is it me? Is it the enemy? Who art thou? Then he said, Lord. See, that's how that should be read, theoretically. Lord. And God answered him. Glory to God. He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go unto the city. It shall be told thee what thou must do. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Very important. Once you have an acquaintance with God, once you have a deep enough experience with God, it will cause you to take your eyes off a man. Oh, come on. I want y'all to just lay this foundation with me tonight, because this is pretty much where I want to pick it up from. He had an encounter with God. And most people that can't get their eyes off a man is because you haven't had a deep enough encounter with God. But I tell you today that if you, glory be to God, have a deep enough interaction with God, you'll see no man save Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're heading into where I want to go from tonight, teach from tonight. Let us read on. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight. Neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. If I can title tonight, I'll put it into a title for your remembrance. I just want to say, let God choose. Let God choose. Because can I just briefly go into a situation why I say let God choose? Because we're living in a time now where man is not waiting on God to choose. Man is choosing whom they think fit the criteria for whatever they appoint them to. And you have to be careful when it's an appointment given by man. You see. This thing about his name was Saul of Tarsus. The reason why his name is Saul of Tarsus is because his father was one of the Sanhedrin court in Tarsus. And Saul grew up in the church, if I could use the Sanhedrin court as a form of church, because that's pretty much what it was. The temple was the synagogue. And it was the Sanhedrin that ran the synagogue. And Saul grew up in this thing. And you have to be careful sometimes growing up in church, because you'll get in a revelation of what you see from a child up. And it could just be all tradition. See, because the Bible declares that the tradition of men can nullify the word of God. And see, if you're not careful, if you've been in church so long that you are so traditionalized to a way of worship, you're so bound, glory to God, to songs of worship, you're bound to a certain way and a certain move of God, when the Holy Ghost begins to exuberate some people, or he begins to exalt himself in the midst, glory be to God. If it's a form of worship, or if it's a singing, or if it's a move that you're not familiar with, you'll fight against it. Lays a foundation on Brother Saul. He was on fire for God. He loved God. He had bad teaching. Can I just throw that in today? Glory be to God. You have to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm not going to put it all on leaders, because sometimes you have to dig in for yourself. Hallelujah, somebody. See, we serve a God, glory be to God, that if you desire the sincere milk of the word, that you want to grow thereby, the Bible declares that if you have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, oh, glory be to God, the promise is that you shall be filled. See, so I'm not going to put it on all bad leadership. Sometimes you have to dig into that word for for yourself. Can I encourage you tonight? Sometimes you have to want that thing bad enough, glory be to God, that you pick up your Bible, glory be to God. And though it wasn't taught yet in church, you digging down in the scriptures and you asking God to show you the wisdom and revelation inside of the scriptures. And God will do exactly that. But in Saul's case, he grew up under the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which was the Mosaic Law, the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. He knew the Torah inside and out. He knew the ceremonial laws. He knew the dietary laws. He knew the commandments from God. He knew the words of the prophet. But he did not have the revelation of the word of God. So he's not, wasn't as bad as it seems. Can I just tie it with today? Some of us is really hungry for God. We got a zeal for God. But it's not according to knowledge because we haven't sat long enough to be taught. Hallelujah. We haven't been tried, glory be to God. We have not been cultivated into the thing that we have the zeal for. Y'all ain't talking to me. But Saul had a hunger for God. He had a righteous indignation that rose up inside of him. Glory be to God. And when someone abused or misused the law of God, he was one of the first ones bold enough. How y'all ain't talking to me. Strong enough, hallelujah. Willing enough to carry out the judgment that the word of God and the Mosaic law said should be carried out. He was not hating on Christians. He wasn't trying to kill Christians just to kill them. He was carrying out God's law. And blasphemy caused for prosecution and the penalty imposed. So watch this. So all he was doing, he was on fire for God. But I want to talk about those who seem to be under the anointing. Those that seem to have the revelation. Those that know God. See, because that's who Saul was tracking. He was tracking the ones who knew the move of God. Come on, somebody. He was tracking the ones that was flowing in the spirit of God. And if I can just throw this in right here, if you know God, you better be ready for some persecution. Hallelujah. If you follow in the spirit of the living God, get ready to people coming at, especially religious people, especially people who ain't trying to walk where you're walking, especially people who ain't hearing like from God the way you're hearing. Good God Almighty, they are automatically going to come up against you because you might be hearing something they think is unlawful to hear. I'm just putting some stuff out tonight, but listen to me. Don't ever get so close to God that you are trying to do God's job. You don't want to be trying to do God's job. God knows what he needs to do, when he needs to do it, how he needs to do it. See? So, and sometimes it doesn't seem right. So now watch. Here's Brother Saul. Going out, he has a reputation of doing wrong. He has a reputation, glory be to God, of doing contrary things that God is not supporting, according to the move of God. And so now, he's on his way to continue in what he feels led to do. And a light shine knocks him to the ground. God reveals himself to him. And now God sends him in a direction without the fullness of understanding what's next. Can God raise you up without you knowing the next step? Can God sometimes want to raise us up and by faith send us out? See, if God raised you up, he raised you up for purpose. God doesn't raise you up for self-gratification. God doesn't loose gifts, titles, positions on you for self-gratification. If God comes, glory be to God. Help me tonight, Lord. If God comes, glory be to God. And you have a personal experience with God. If he raised you up, hallelujah, it's for a purpose. Saul had a purpose. And I need to move a little faster because I'm taking too much time right here. But when he rose him up, he never told him where he was sending him. He was 3 days without sight. But when he got to Damascus, there was a certain disciple named Ananias and to him. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas of one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Now, I don't know why the Lord really has me here tonight. Somebody's going to get something out of this. When God has an elevated move, when God has a move that he's doing, he's going to send you somebody and he's going to prepare you. I'm just talking about the power of God in demonstration. The move of God in a demonstrated way. Here is a disciple of God. A disciple is somebody disciplined in God. Disciplined in the word. Glory be to God. And he's in a place where God will have him to be. Sometimes we got to just stay where we're supposed to be till God send an assignment. God sent him an assignment. God sent the assignment to Ananias. He said, go to the street called Straight. God does things in a straight way, in a mighty way. God doesn't beat around the bush and round corners. He goes straight to the straight street. He said, you're going to find, glory be to God, a man of God called Saul of Tarsus. He said, behold, he's praying. Let me tell you something. Prayer brings the move of God. See, Saul had an encounter with God, and the first thing he did is went down in prayer. Good God Almighty, if you want God to move on your behalf, you want God to open up doors for you, glory be to God, you want God to bless you on high, you got to have a prayer life. Somebody say, a prayer life. The saints of God are not praying anymore. But yet we expect God to move mightily. We expect God to open up doors. We expect wonder working power. We expect miracles to happen. But we're not praying to God. Hallelujah. So how do we get acquainted with the move of God? He said, behold, he's praying. Now, it says so many things I want to hit tonight. Because I don't know what. Who's going to get what? But I'm going to be obedient to God. There's some stuff out here. There's a lot of stuff out here. Tonight, we ain't got three-course, four-course meal. This is kind of like soup tonight. I got some spiritual soup tonight. So whatever you like the most, you like potatoes, get more potatoes. You like corn, get more. Whatever you like, because there's going to be a lot in there. I'm just mixing up some soup tonight. But it's going to be good. It ain't death in the pot. Better's not death in the pot. It's some good soup. He told him This man is praying. How many of us have the heart to help somebody pray it? Some folk are praying for a move of God. And here we are looking at their past, deciding how we gonna deal with them. When you see somebody got a heart for a change, glory be to God. You ought to be able to be used by God. Here's a man, Ananias, he's a disciple of the living God. And God said, listen, I need to give you an assignment, glory be to God. All assignments are not easy. All assignments are not coming shouting. All assignments are not coming already saved. All assignments that come in your life ain't already going to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Some assignments are going to be crossing over from death to life. Some assignments are going to be crossing over from Islam to Christianity. Some assignments are going to be crossing over, from sin to righteousness. Are you going to be able to be used by God? Here is this man a murderer. He had just murdered Stephen the deacon. That was one of Ananias' acquaintances. He heard the name of the man. But God also told him he's praying and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Tonight, I just need to encourage you that somebody needs your gift to see. Ha! Glory to God. Somebody needs your impartation to understand, to get the vision. See. Somebody's going to need you to get to the next level. Are you willing tonight? Are you willing to be used by God in spite of? Are you willing to trust God in spite of? I don't know why tonight, but that's just on my heart for the people of God, for us to check our heart and make sure that we're not only dealing with people that seem to be acceptable, that seem to be worthy. Are we ready, hallelujah, to lay hands on the are you ready to minister to the drug addict? Are you ready to minister, glory to God, to the alcoholic, to the harlot? Come on, somebody, talk to me. To the one under the wrong religion. God said, listen, I need you to go to this man praying. Because when he was praying, he had an acquaintance. He had an experience. He had a vision. And he saw you. God said, you know why I know he's talking? Because I gave it to him. See? And sometimes God is going to let you know how badly you need it. But he's not going to force you to do it. I don't know. Like I said, I'm making soup tonight. I said he's not going to force you to do it. Verse 13 says that Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard by many. Can I deal with that for a second? Thanks to God. You better watch your ear gate. And I don't mean better as if I'm telling you, that they're threatening you to. It behooves you to watch your ear gate. Listen, people of God, I don't know how much I can assure you the importance of this season. People are running around talking about, oh, God is exposing this season. God is not exposing as much as people say. People are talking. People are passing on gossip. And they never said Ananias was praying. They're passing off gossip on the people praying. They're passing gossip on the people that God is moving upon. Y'all ain't talking back tonight. They're gossiping, but my business. Hallelujah. And God was elevating him. And people were trying to hold him down. To the point that the man of God that God needed to use, the Lord. You know how many people have talked about this man? As if God don't know. I'm telling you tonight, we're better off letting God choose. Look, God Almighty, somebody can try to elevate you if you want. But if God didn't choose you to be there, lo and behold, I pray for your soul. Look, God Almighty, you can elevate yourself. But if God didn't say it, God, I pray for their soul. Because some of the people we think God ain't going to elevate. In this season, the first shall be last. And the last shall be first. Here's a man of God. Glory to be to God. The only thing was wrong with Saul is he had bad teaching. He had not the revelation yet. Oh, good God Almighty, but he had a heart for God. He had a mind for God. He was a warrior for God. If you don't believe me, look and see who wrote 13 books in the New Testament. It's that same murderer, man and woman of God. Who do you think wrote all of the books, most one third of the books in the New Testament? It was this man that a disciple of God was saying, Lord, didn't you hear about this man? Everybody talking about him. Everybody say he's no good. Everybody say he ain't going to be nothing. Everybody says stay away from him. Everybody said don't support him. Come on, somebody. The same man. Glory to God. He said, have you heard how much evil he has done? And it was true. Let me tell somebody tonight, you don't have to be ashamed of your past. You don't have to be ashamed of your failure. You don't have to be ashamed of your inconsistencies. You don't have to be ashamed of your immaturity. Where you did things that you're not proud of. Where you did things that people are talking about. Because none of that was a hindrance to God for what he wanted to do for Saul. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. It was true. He said, haven't you heard all the evil things that this man did? Not only was it evil, but he did it, watch this, to the saints. He did it to people you love, God. Do he still qualify? Do I still have to minister to him? Do I still have to fellowship with him? Do I still have to receive a word from him? Glory to God. I want to tell you tonight, if God speak a word, doesn't matter the vessel it come from, you're yet accountable. Because God's word is true. That wasn't good enough. Because am I spiritual? My spiritual revelation, I guess in between these two verses, God said, yeah, I heard, so what? I think we see when you go to verse 13 and 14, it had to be an answer. And he said, you don't know, have you heard about this man? How much evil he's done to the saints at Jerusalem? God had to have said, yeah, I heard. All right, so what? And that's what God is saying. So what? Let me choose. Hallelujah. Let me move. Glory to God. Let me, hallelujah, be the author and the finisher of his faith, not your gossip. Some people want their gossip to be your finisher. Some people think that if they tell gossip on you, it'll end anointing on you. But power belongs to God. Huh? Come on. Bishop Hezekiah Walker said, power belongs to God. See? So people talking does not disqualify you. I'm telling you tonight, get up. Hallelujah. Don't you let guilt and shame hold you down. Glory to God. Don't you let past failures knock you off the race. Glory be to God. Don't you think that you can't be used by God. What you have to do is say, with God. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trouble. He'll hear your painted cry and answer by and by. Just start the prayer wheel turning. Let him see the fire burning. He'll make it right. Amen? He had to say, so what? Yeah, I heard, so what? Because he went on to say, and he got authority. From who? Are you going to tell God somebody got authority? Hallelujah. When all power was given unto him in heaven and earth. But yet he got an nerve to tell God about some authority that man gave him. Can I tell you something? Man can't give you authority that God hasn't okayed. I don't care what man say. I don't care what man do to crown you with it. Glory be to God. I don't care what title man give you. It's not legit if God didn't do it. Hallelujah, somebody. If God didn't give it to you, don't you run around believe you got authority. Don't you run around believe you got power. Don't you run around believe that you minister, do all that, and you just got saved. I don't care if they gave you that title. You better not believe that's you. Power come from God and authority too. And they told God, man got authority from the chief priest. Who is the chief priest? He said, he got authority from the chief priest to bind you and to bind anybody else. Glory be to God that call on your name. Hallelujah. What authority do you believe can bind you from doing the will of God? Don't you let no authority bind you up. Hallelujah. If it's not from God, if God says get up, now I don't care what title, what authority try to bind you, try to tell you don't praise him, try to tell him you ain't qualified, try to tell you to sit down. No, listen, you can't tell him, you can't bind me. When the Lord loose me, he whom the Lord has set free. Hallelujah. It's free indeed. I wish somebody would try to bind me. Fetch me from my path. When God has set you free. He said, authority. And his authority is to bind anybody that call on your name. And the Lord said, don't worry about that. Let me choose. He said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Can I speak to the body tonight? We have to wait and see who's a chosen vessel, not who fits our profile. We got a lot of people that fit the profile. They did nothing wrong. They got a good education. They live in a good house. Y'all ain't talking back to me. Good vocabulary. They got the profile to fit. But God didn't choose them. I'm talking Bible. Good God Almighty. Huh? I'm talking Bible. When the prophet was sent to Jesse's house, glory be to God, to choose for the next king, he said, I provided me a son, a king around Jesse's house. And as they brought Shammah and they brought all of the other sons, he said, the Lord has not chosen thee. Come on. He said, there's got to be another one. Come on. And when they brought David out, glory be to God, he said, anoint him, for this is he. You see? So God knows, and when we don't know, so body of Christ, you got to stop trying to place people in offices that God didn't do. Stop. You're hurting people. You're causing spirits to be released on them. You're trying to get them to walk in gifts that they don't have. You're placing titles on them that God has not said amen to. And what you are doing is setting them up for failure. Let me choose. God said he's a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You see how important that man was? He took his past, his sodomite, and the future. If you notice, those three areas of ministry, those were every area that God had prepared him for. When he was in the Sanhedrin court, he learned the teachings of the Torah, of the Pentateuch, of the Mosaic Law. When he learned all of that, it was for purpose. See? It was for purpose. Because he had to go to the king. Then, the experience that he was living in now had prepared him to go to the children of Israel. And after God sent him forth, finally, as the last of the apostles, as he put himself, who was born in due time out of season, he was sent to the Gentiles. The man wrote 13 books in the Bible. but they looked at him. They looked at him in the state in which he was and the past that he had. Let me tell you something. Qualify them from having a future. Hallelujah. I said last week, thank you, people of God. I said last week, if the person is still breathing, then God is either still dealing with them through forgiveness, mercy, or grief. And as long as God is dealing with them from those areas, we as the people of God, we have no right to disqualify them again. Amen. Praise God. He says he's a chosen vessel. He got a lot of areas to cover that even you, Ananias, that I need to lay hands on it. You cannot or was not called to cover all the area that chosen vessel is sent to cover. And then God testified and said, for I will show them. Hallelujah. All you've got to do is do what I ask you to do, and I'm going to take the rest. See, and sometimes all God needs us to do is to do what he leads us to do. And when we're done, we're done. God will take it from there. Come on, somebody. But we don't know how to let go of people. Oh, can I put this bone in the soup? It's about done, but I'm going to put this bone inside the soup too. We as pastors and leaders and apostles and bishops and everything that we call ourselves, we don't know how to let go of people. Once they step foot in our church, we just believe they're there forever. Somebody going to frown at me, but we do. We don't, and even me as a pastor, because I pastor, and it hurts when somebody, you know, leave or somebody stray. And it's hard to let go. But sometimes it may be God releasing them. We know most times it's not God. It's just people. People running. Hallelujah. And I just want to encourage leaders tonight, just pray for them. Because we most times, we know it ain't God. Let them go. Let them run. But pray for them. Don't not pray for them. Pray for them because you know what? They're gone. They are stiff-necked, stubborn. And I don't know, right? I'm throwing this in the soup too. But yeah, you just got to let them go. But in this case, God is saying, all I need you to do is obey me in this phase. I'm going to show him. See? And can I just throw this in there, too? I'll tell you the soup tonight, y'all. I'll be back there to top it next week. Then y'all come on back now. Don't leave me hanging. But I'm going to throw this in the soup, too. We got to, yes, when God is dealing with us, as in Saul, you've got to just stay still. Can God show you? Look, when he had got the revelation of God, y'all ain't talking to me. When he hit the ground, when he got back up, when he finally got his sight, he could have took off. But he didn't. He prayed because he did not know what to do. He wasn't moving ahead of God. And I want to talk to some things about tonight. Slow down. Slow down. Running ahead of God. Stop moving ahead of God. Saul didn't even know that he was going to be used to this extent. He just was grateful that he had got a revelation and a relationship with God that was real, because the one he had was not real. Hallelujah. The one he had was the spirit of error. The one he had him going against the will of God. He was just so grateful that when he found out that he found God for real, come on somebody, he dropped to his knees and he prayed. Hallelujah. And he waited on God. And God said, I'm going to show him what great things I have for him to do. See, you want to do great things for God? Let him lead you. And what great things you want to do for God, you got to wait and let God lead you. Because God does not see as man sees. Man look on outward appearance, but God look at the heart. We look at the glory, we look at the fame, we look at the honor, but God look at the suffering. Y'all don't hear me? God didn't say, oh, I'm going to make him do this and that. He's going to be great for me. He's going to write books in the Bible for me. No, God said, no, he's going to suffer for me. See? And he's going to take it. How many people want to be anointed to suffer? Everybody want to be anointed. Anoint me to prophesy. Anoint me to heal. Anoint me to speak in tongues. Anoint me to sing. Everybody want to be anointed. But nobody want to be anointed to suffer. People of God, that takes an anointing. Jesus' most anointed time, most powerful time, was during the time of suffering. That's when he showed power. That's when he showed anointing. During the suffering. See? Well, God said, I'm going to show him what great things he's going to have to suffer for me. Can I close almost? I got to be close to closing time. And God did some things that God want to let us understand. You're going to do great things, but it takes suffering. It takes suffering sometimes to do great thing. You're not going to just awesome things and not have to go through nothing. Well, I mean, you might. I mean, you don't have to. But most people that I know in the few little years that I've been with God, I know that suffering has been the greater part of the ministry. Glory to God. I'm talking about just as much as I can be grateful as to being used, I have had to suffer. And that's what brings out the glory. Let me just try to get a little bit more in the word here. I thought I was close to that. Let me just go a little more in the word here. I'm going to show him what great things he has to suffer for my sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest here, have sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. Glory to God. We won't be able to do anything for God without being filled. And I thank God for the man of God, Ananias. That's why I told you it's going to come together. Because he didn't believe. But once he heard from God, call him that man again. Or this man. He said, Brother Saul. And I want to just let somebody know today. Somebody going to see you as a brother. Somebody going to acknowledge you as a sister. But sometimes it takes a while before they acknowledge you as an evangelist, as a minister. Y'all ain't talking to me. He didn't acknowledge him as a brother. He acknowledged him as an enemy of the cross. But if you do right long enough, hallelujah, if you pray long enough, if you walk according to Scripture long enough, somebody going to say, oh, that's bishop, hallelujah, that's evangelist, that's prophet, that's pastor, come on, somebody, hallelujah. And he prayed and he stayed long enough to the very man of God said, Brother Saul, look, God Almighty, I see your vision. Glory be to God. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and immediately they fell from his eyes as it has been scales. And he received his sight full with it. He arose. Can I tell you something? You cannot see the things of God through fleshly eyes. Just a little cornbread to go with the soup. Now, I don't know. I'm on this cooking thing tonight. I'm telling you, I think I'm at my house. I'm smelling good stuff, and I'm on this cooking thing tonight. But you know what? This is just a little something to go with the soup. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost, number one. After God fill you up with the Holy Spirit, then you have to begin to see through the eyes of God. You can't keep looking at people through a natural way. You've got to see through the eyes of God. He said, immediately, hallelujah, it was as if scales fell from his eyes. You know, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost tonight, people of God. And sometimes God has to just continue to press and to push through the veins of the saints of God his love, because that's what frees us to see. Love is what covers us to understand. Love is what causes us to trust God and let God do what he's doing and just say, yes, Lord, God bless you, do your thing. Hallelujah. Scales fell from his eyes. And he received what God was doing. When he had received me, verse 19 says, he was strengthened. He had no meat before. He was in the wrong word. He wasn't getting the nourishment from the bad teaching. And I want to let you know, if you're not getting in the word, you're not being nourished. Glory be to God. You may have gotten the Holy Spirit. You may have heard or seen the call on your life. But if you're not digging into the word, glory to God, so that you can get the sincere milk of the word mixed with the strong meat, which is for those who are full age, huh? And it comes by reason of use, you having your senses exercised. That means carrying out Scripture. And if you're not carrying out the Scripture, if you're not getting experience in handling the Scripture, then you will not be strengthened enough for the hard cases. I'm telling you tonight, people of God, if you want to be you, you want the hard cases of God, get in the Word and eat some meat. Hallelujah. Carry out the Bible in a strong way. He says, as soon as he got under some good meat, it strengthened him. Come on. Huh? And he was, and there was Saul 30 days with the disciples. And he began to teach. He began to learn. Come on. And then when he got up and got back on that same road, I'm closing here. I mean, he got right back on that same road on the way back. Preached Christ. Good God Almighty. He was coming down the road one way. Hallelujah. But he went back up the road a total different way. And I want to let you know today, I don't know what road you've been traveling. Glory to God. But you can go down that same road a whole different way. Y'all ain't talking to me. God can send you right back where you came from with a whole new testimony. Y'all ain't talking to me yet. God can send you right back with all the scales fall from your eyes. Hallelujah. God can give you, glory be to God, a new name along the way. That was Saul of Tarsus. But on his way back, his name was Paul. Good God Almighty. Huh? That's Paul, Apostle Paul of the New Testament. He was Saul of Tarsus of the Old Testament. Let me tell you something, people of God. Do God have a name change for you? Do God change your name from angry to smiley? Y'all ain't talking to me. Huh? From mean to nice? Come on. God has a way of changing our name. And it comes from getting in his word and eating meat. Amen. Pray you got something out of tonight. It's a little different tonight. Make sure you come back next week. I don't know where we're going, but I tell you, I just felt a shifting in my spirit to make some soup tonight. But one thing I can tell you, it's in the word. I'm in the word. And if it's in the Word, it's undisputed. And I'm Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministry. We're located at 1910 Darbytown Road in Hemranko, Virginia. 1921, did I say 10? I tell you, that's some hot soup on me. I just got hit with it. 1921. Woo. I don't know where that came from. Darbytown Road in the city of Richmond, Virginia. On the border, Hemranko, both right there, Hemranko or Richmond. And we want you to come. We're going to give you some words. Put you in the ring. Throw some word at you so you can learn how to shoot that word out when you need it. You know, become undisputed champion of your situation. Because you're more than a conqueror through him that loves you. Ain't that all right? Amen. Again, you know, we're undisputed truth. We build champions. And I want to tell you thank you. And let us be in your corner. Amen. See you next week here on Undisputed Truth Ministry. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Show me your face. Fill up this space.
Yeah.
My world needs you.
Yeah,
I can't escape being afraid. Fill me with you right now. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face. Fill up this space. My world needs you right now. I can't.
My world needs you.